The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I'm George Chen.
And we are the hosts of SupDoc.
It's the show that you're at, if you didn't know why you're here.
That's how we like to do it. We like to just pop up and surprise the fuck out of people. Our podcast is about documentaries. Anybody here ever seen a documentary? Any documentary fans? Awesome. How about podcasts? Anybody here ever heard a podcast before? You guys are so San Francisco. That is awesome. Well, by chance, we have a documentary podcast called SupDoc. We've been doing it since 2015. And George and I are the hosts, and we have guests on, and we talk to them about their favorite documentaries. So you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, go to our website, supdocpodcast.com, and check us out. And so what we thought we would do this year, this is our second time in
Sketchfest?
Third time in Sketchfest. I knew that. I was just trying to sound cool. It's our third time in Sketchfest. And what we've done before, usually shown it like a really short documentary and then had a panel come up and talk about it. What did we show before?
We did a Heavy Metal Parking Lot, if you've seen that. No, okay, no woos.
Yeah, oh,
three,
yeah.
Three woos.
You guys can make noise, yeah.
Oh, you were at that screening, right? Okay, yeah.
Oh, you were? Oh, awesome.
And we also showed Neil Diamond Parking Lot, which is part of the same... what is it? Not a trinity? It's two things. A duad. And then we showed another film that is called Memorial Day 2000. That's a found footage documentary that is basically a Michigan camper vacation gone very awry.
Have you guys seen that? How many people have seen that one?
Google it.
Yeah, that one's awesome.
Google it. Don't eat when you're going
to
see that.
Or go camping. Or go to Michigan. Yeah. Basically, good tenants just for life. So in the past we've then had people come up and talk. This time though, we want to do something a little different. Maybe the world's only live interactive documentary quiz show. Huh? Crazy?
Unless you've seen one already.
Unless
in which case, we'll scrap it. We'll do something else.
That's how much we love documentaries. We turn it into a quiz show.
Comedy should be like school, is what we decided.
It should just be like school. We should, yes, exactly. And then we asked four of our favorite comedians to join us. Very smart, very funny people to come here and help us out with this quiz show. And so we're going to ask them up individually, one at a time. We put them in teams. You'll see how it works. There's a variety of different...
We'll see how it works.
We'll also
We've
see how it works.
We've never done this before.
So. We'll also see how it works. So the first guest we want to bring up here is Mike Drucker.
Let's bring up Mike Drucker. Comedian.
He's a writer for The Tonight Show, Bill Nye, Science Guy, in Full Frontal with Sam B. Have a seat there, Michael.
The furthest away from us.
I didn't know how we wanted it to be. Let me get close.
Do whatever feels natural.
Now it's a whole thing.
Yeah, he's got the most credits. He can sit where he wants.
Right.
Now it's a thing.
You can order us around if you want. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome back to San Francisco.
Thank
you used to live here. You used to live here, and then you got better jobs and moved away.
I got better jobs in cheaper cities, so I was like, I'm going to do that instead.
Wait, New York is cheaper. Oh, that's
right. New York is cheaper.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry, I just ruined the podcast.
No, it's fine. We have a New York podcast, too. So you used to live here, and you didn't start comedy here. Where did you start?
I started comedy in New York when I was in college. Then I moved to Seattle to make video games. Then I moved to San Francisco to make comedy about video games. And that there's no money in that. Right. So then I went back to, by the way, at 10 o'clock, I'm doing a show about comedy and video games here. And then I moved to New York to write for Jimmy Fallon. Then I moved to L.A. to do Adam Ruins Everything and Bill Nye and a couple other shows. Then I moved back to New York to do President's Show and Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Whoa, awesome. How's Jimmy Fallon doing? Still have a show?
I don't know. I don't talk to him. He's prop... No, I was going to say something. He's fine. He's doing really well. This is a public podcast. He's doing great.
We can redact it, dude. We can redact
that.
The podcast.
Please redact that.
Well, like, yeah.
And so now you're living in New York.
I'm living in New York.
And what are you currently doing?
I'm writing on Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great show. Put your hands together for that. Come on.
Yeah.
Samantha Bee, she's a genius, right?
Yeah, she's super great.
What do you write for? What's your shtick? What's your shtick, kid?
I write like a lot of the studio pieces where she's like talking in front of the screen. Me and the other 9 writers write that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's dive into docs for a second.
Sure.
What, do you have a doc you'd like to bring up?
I like, my favorite documentary is the documentary Best of Enemies.
Oh,
have you seen that?
Oh, God.
Has this audience seen that?
You guys know this?
It's Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley, and it's sort of like the creation of the sort of like left versus right binary that we see in popular media now.
You might have heard of it, the left-right binary.
Yeah. You know the left-right binary! Yeah.
That's a great... It's on currently, I believe, on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. It's like... Sometimes it's on Amazon Prime, sometimes on Netflix. I feel like it disappears a lot.
And it kind of started the debate show thing. It kind of started, like, the talking heads...
It started the debate show thing. The whole thing about it was during... I forget which election, but one of the elections... I believe... Again, I forget because I haven't seen the documentary in, like, a year. But I think ABC might have been lacking in the ratings. And because CBS and NBC were doing so well, and they were doing, like, the primaries and the conventions, they would just run footage. They wouldn't have commentary. They'd literally run a political convention and just leave the camera on and walk away. So it'd be, like, 8 hours on just the only networks available of politicians talking, and that was how they covered politics. And ABC was doing so poorly in the ratings that they were like, we can't just do that. We'll lose. So they hired Gore Vidal, who was super controversial at the time, and William F. Buckley, who was super, like, controversial in his own way, and they just had them debate topics 10 times, and it became the most successful thing in that election. And then I think ABC immediately jumped to the top of the ratings. And the whole debate thing was basically, like, a very primitive version of what you, like, kind of see now on, like, Fox News, where it's like, you're an idiot, no, you're an idiot, but they say it very politely and in, like, sort of a 60s way, and that kicked off, like, other debate things and sort of became what we now think of as political commentary. And that's my book report.
There you go. That's awesome. And that's when you have like Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley, you're just gonna get just pithy stuff, right?
Well, it's also what's funny is the whole documentary pivots on this point where Gore Vidal calls William F. Buckley a neo-Nazi, and William F. Buckley goes like, "I'm gonna hit you in the face," and then in the documentary they're like, "That was the end of his career," and you're like, "Oh, that would never happen now." Like literally, you have like people who are in Congress being like, "I'll fuck you up," and people are like, "Yeah, of course, yeah."
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
right. Crypto fascist, right?
Crypto, like, he called like, him neo-Nazi.
We're just fascists now. We don't have to hide it. Yeah. Fine.
Hide behind your college terms.
Literally, Steve King is someone who's like, why is white supremacy bad again?
Right. Exactly. And I think also, didn't William F. Buckley call Gore Vidal gay or something in one of the...
He implied that he was gay. Yeah. He implied that he was gay, and Gore Vidal kind of... was? But he kind of implied he was gay in a way that like was like that was his offensive attack, but it was really the like I'll sock you in the face, which is such a fun term.
That is
we
awesome.
Don't say that anymore.
No, nobody's
like, I'm gonna sock you one, and then you're like, what?
But that's the
thing. And then they had like more debates and no one cared.
That's a great talk. All right, fantastic. Put your hands together for Mike
Drucker. I watched a movie.
All right, and our next comic we have coming up is a local comic. She does a podcast about Handmaid's Tale called Red All Over, and she has a podcast about TV shows called Failure to Launch. It's Molly Sanchez, everyone. San Francisco's Molly Sanchez.
Molly Sanchez!
Hi. Welcome up.
Hi, Molly.
Sit wherever. You don't have to sit next to me.
I was guilted into sitting close.
You were.
That's okay.
Don't sit so far. Hi, Molly.
Hi.
Molly was also a previous guest on SupDoc. We did the Jim and Andy. Anybody seen the Jim and Andy documentary? Yeah, that's a great one, right? Anyone
else?
One
guy likes it.
Just the guy in the back? Big fan of either Andy Kaufman or Jim Carrey? Anyone else seen Jim and Andy?
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, yeah, you can say something.
Mike, I've seen it.
Mike has. Well, we do a great interview with Molly about that documentary. So, Molly, tell us about your podcast that you have.
So I have one podcast that's really going on right now, which is called Red All Over. It's a Handmaid's Tale recap. And my partner Kelly and I, we recap The Handmaid's Tale TV show. We deep dive into the book, and then sometimes we get really bummed out, so we have to review something like Josie and the Pussycats to feel better. So if you're looking for any of those things, Red All Over is available on iTunes.
Josie the Pussycat, the cartoon?
No, friends.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I believe it's 2000.
Oh, you're talking the movie.
Yeah, it's the movie. Josie and the Pussycats.
And that's Archie canon, right? Archie canon?
Uh-huh, yeah. It's in the Archie extended universe, okay. Yeah. The great movie.
It is an amazing movie.
It is
unironically a great movie.
Genuinely, it's such a great satire.
Not documentary, let's move on. Okay.
Yeah.
Who stars in it?
What if it was?
It's got your Tara Reid. It's got your Rachel Lake.
Oh, yeah,
it's got
a
young Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. Wow.
Alan Cumming.
Seth Green. Wow.
Parker Posey.
What? Talking the 90s now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Really great.
Let's bring up a documentary. What do you think? What do you got? What do you seen lately?
You've had an opinion that you wanted to share.
Yes. I'm here because I got beef with the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Oh, shit. Someone don't like Fred.
No, I love Fred, okay. And I think that's where to my detriment. So I'm a Raj head from way back in the day.
Okay, sure.
And I think that's the reason I didn't like this, because it was way too shallow for me. I'm like, I've known all this stuff about Mr. Rogers. Go deeper.
Right.
And there were so many things that are
too basic for you.
Yeah, it was way too basic for me. And beautiful, I cried. It's a lovely piece of film, but it's not. Didn't go deep enough into anything I wanted to go deep in. Like, they didn't talk to... I think it's because his wife is still alive. They can't really dissect everything they wanted to. So they had, like, one shot of his son saying, like, hey, it was maybe not the best all the time to have Mr. Rogers as your dad. And they're like, anyway, here's next scene. Yeah.
Do you
dig into that.
Do you know the deep cuts with the son? Because feeling there was something up with the son.
I don't, and I want to. But there are other, like, deep cuts that I do know that they didn't even talk about.
Like what?
Like, he had a whole, like, 5-point formula for how to write for children and how to, like, write each sentence so it's more interesting.
Oh.
There's a really good, this is not a documentary either, but there's a really good Esquire profile of Mr. Rogers where they talk about spending a day with him when he's alive that is much better than that documentary.
Oh,
there,
damn,
I said it.
All right. Yeah. What about his weight thing?
I'm so glad you brought this up, Paco, because this is the most problematic part of this whole movie. Do you guys remember this part in the documentary?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so for those who don't remember, Mr. Rogers kept his weight as an adult at 143 pounds. Because that's one letter for I, four letters for love, and three letters for you.
That's creepy.
Now listen.
That is so fucking creepy.
To the point where he would like skip lunch.
If it goes to 142, it's I love me.
Yeah.
So that's.
And this is fucked up because honestly, if anybody else, if Sherry Lewis was like, hey, Lamb Chop is great, also I weigh 143 because I love, people would think she was a psychopath with an eating disorder, but we're like, Rogers is always being considerate.
Like, how much would the puppet weigh? You know, I can't do the puppet, it's gonna add 2 pounds.
It's so upsetting to me,
You showed up on, like, a first date, and you're like, oh, I can't eat anything because I need to keep my weight at I love you.
Yeah.
People would be like, what? No, I'm out.
And I have a 5-point plan to talk to children.
Yeah. That's why I weigh 185, and that's so I can get like a whole first page of a book in there.
How's your son? He doesn't like me, but we won't talk about it at all.
I wanted to know. I saw that documentary. For me, what I wanted to know was what his parents did that made them so rich. They never talked about the wealth.
I know.
Yeah, they never went there. They never went to the wealth, and they never talked to... Who? Did anyone remember the actress's name that was on the TV show? Yeah, me neither. But they had the main woman actor, but she wasn't on it. They also didn't talk to her, so...
And the thing that bothers me, too, and this isn't a flaw of the documentary, it's more of like a flaw of the person, is like, you know, the surviving widow of Mr. Rogers is totally one of those people that's like, oh, yes, I have gay friends, but no rights for those guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That was
anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Problematic. Making your gay lead marry someone in the 70s to cover up his gayness, also not cool.
And that was the only time I think they actually took him to task for being... Mm-hmm. know, not this sainted person. And I think that's a way more interesting to explore because he is still good in spite of him doing that. I wanted it more nuanced.
Right, right. Yeah. Like when Captain Kangaroo killed all those hookers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Woke is also four letters that he's not.
Yeah, so. That is true.
All right, guys, who are we bringing up next?
Alex.
Guys, we're going to bring up from Portland, Alex Falcone.
Yay! Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do that. We'll get to the names of the team names after our interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex Falcone, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Alex.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for not reading any of my credits.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Portlandia, guys. Funniest person of Portland, 2018?
That's
Is
true.
That last year?
Oh, that's wow. True. It does sound gaudy. That's why we were going to skip
Are
that.
You going to move, though? Because usually they move.
Yeah. Okay.
After you win that,
that's
you win
a little
more than you move.
Yeah.
That's a little rude to be like, you're the funniest person in your town. Why do you still live there?
Listen, seven TV shows. The rest of us... There's only so much we have to live for.
When did you win this award?
This is the annual contest in Portland, and I won it over last summer. Now that all the other funny people moved, they made it possible for me to have a shot.
And this is Portland, Maine?
Dickhead. The funniest person in Portland, Maine is like a fisherman who knows four jokes.
Right, right.
I imagined the contest and he's the only one who showed up.
Yeah.
But he's proud every year.
He sounds like one of Buckley too, yeah.
Yeah, the lobsters, yeah. So I'm confused. Do you live in Portland?
I live in Portland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, good. How long do you spend? How much time do you spend there?
like most of the day.
Do you have a spare room?
He teleports.
Condo to stay in?
He's on like the Elon Musk like little Zoom thing. Yeah.
This is one of the worst interviews I've ever received. How much time do you spend in your hometown?
How much get interviewed in Portland?
That
man.
Was your third question.
Are you satisfied with your AT&T customer service?
This is not a podcast. Yeah, this is a sales call that you're watching.
Gotcha.
We shoot from the hip, Alex.
No. We're going to talk about documentaries in the Tenderloin. Please come.
Well, you just recently did an interview with George.
No, we just were on a show last night together.
Oh.
It's just called Talkies. So just,
are you even supposed to be here?
We booked that lobster guy from Maine. You hear what showed up?
I told Hara Kondabolu not to come.
Jesus Christ.
That's awesome.
Your fourth question was, were you on an interview with George yesterday?
He said he interviewed you.
You guys had such a burrito. Do you remember how good your segments were?
We were built up as people. You've been broken down as a man.
And I was nervous following Mike, but I feel so much better preceding you.
How much did you weigh? Is that what you said?
Would you say you weigh 143 or you don't feel love?
The thing about 143 is also I hate you fills that category.
That's true. So let's talk documentaries.
Let's talk about documentaries.
Yeah.
So my two favorite things in documentaries are when rich people are sad. And when the film that the documentarian set out to make is different from what ends up happening, because some shit goes down. Those are my two favorite things.
Yeah.
For example, Icarus, if you guys remember, is a great one where they like did not expect that to happen.
For Icarus.
Crazy shit happened in the middle. But my favorite, which combines both of my two favorite things, is Queen of Versailles.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
That's a great one.
Yeah?
That's a great one.
Yeah, which was where it was a scam artist and his wife built the largest house ever in Florida, and then halfway through it, the financial crisis happens, and it turns out that they don't have the fundamentals of a marriage when there's no money. And it's a sad, fun time.
Yeah.
There's a part where they have to fire some of the nannies, and the woman says, I would not have had eight kids if I had known I'd have to raise them.
Yeah.
That's
it's
awesome.
So fucked up. And it's a great documentary where the focus of the documentary sued them afterwards for defamation, and the judge was like, but it's true. And that's how it ended.
That is an awesome... Have you guys seen that?
Yeah. A bunch of you, yeah. Oh, what a good time.
Do you have an example of when things go awry? One of those kind of docs?
Well, so like Icarus, not awry, but it's like Icarus was like they were setting out to make a movie about steroid use, and then it turned out the whole thing that the doctor had been up to in Russia came out, and he had to run away. This is not as interesting, but I did just watch a documentary about an English soccer team where they get kicked out of the pros because they're too bad, called Sunderland or Die, which is amazing. But the best part is that the rich people are very sad. It's just watching people drive Porsches being like, I just wish we were in the pros again. It's just really great.
I can't wait for Fire Fest.
Man, my favorite thing in the world is rich people eating cheese sandwiches in a tent. Oh, that's going to be great.
That's going to be great. And it's by Chris Smith, too.
Oh, yeah.
The director.
Named person Chris Smith.
Yeah, of the Long Island Smiths?
Of the Long Island Smiths. No, Chris Smith did American Movie.
And Jim and Andy.
Yeah, Jim and Andy. Oh. And yeah, he's a great, great documentary filmmaker. Well, those are great two documentaries. Thank you, sir, for bringing those up.
Yeah.
Let's get to our last guest.
All the way from New York, former San Francisco person, good friend of ours. Give it up for Kate Willett, everyone.
Yay!
Kate, bringing all her stuff. She doesn't trust Piano Fight. You got to bring it all on stage.
How long do you spend in New York?
How long do you spend in Portland?
And how fast did you leave?
I went to Portland for a few days. probably ended up being a week because once I was there, it was just like chill. My relationship... I don't think I've ever lived in Portland, but I'm not totally sure because here's what happened.
I was dating a guy in a yurt.
The last midterm election, I got a text from my union in Portland that it was very important to vote for governor. And I don't think that I have ever lived in Portland or joined a union there, but it does seem like something I would do. And part of me is wondering if I did just get like really high in my 20s.
You got really high and then like became a welder?
Joined a union? I don't know.
If you live in a co-op in Berkeley, it's sort of like a Narnia gate into Portland directly.
Yeah, exactly. Just like open the wardrobe and there's just like more white guys with dreads. Like.
Well, Kate, you just had a special on Netflix.
That just came out.
She's on Netflix.
Yeah. Put your hands together.
You're seeing her here without paying anything. It's great.
You get 1 free month of Kate, and then they'll start charging
you. Or if your dad bought Kate, you can watch her anytime.
That is true.
Free of charge.
Where was that?
Even really your friend's dad.
Yeah, right.
Where was that recorded? Where did you record that?
In Atlanta.
Solid question.
Thank you.
It was in Atlanta at a rock venue. I watched it using my friend's dad's login.
They don't even give you a free Netflix account if you are in one of their specials?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Cheap bastards.
That sucks. Well, one of the things the winners tonight get is access to George's Netflix password. So...
I'm a Netflix slut. I don't give a fuck.
He does not give a fuck, believe me. And the losers get...
My Starz password.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's pretty valuable, though.
It's more obscure. Therefore, by the rules of like record collecting, it is more valuable.
True. Yeah. That is true.
I'm going to ruin your recommendations.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm going to watch the weirdest shit.
Man. There's nothing you can do.
Oh, no. I was going to win.
Oh, okay.
Why did you assume we'd be on the losing team?
Nothing. They're not rigged. I'm sorry.
I feel... Until you got here and brought some gravitas to this team, I feel like we were set up poorly.
It's the roast of the funniest person in Portland, 2018. Matters a lot in San Francisco. Sorry. I kept going. Okay.
You're fine. Okay, so
I apologize to me. You don't get to say you're fine.
Oh, sorry. You're fine, Alex.
Hey, man, fuck you. You're doing well. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You are a champion.
Jesus Christ.
Who's even been to Portland?
Nobody. Has anybody here been to Portland? Yeah, see, nobody. Just the drunks in the back.
The bartenders, great.
It's a lovely
drunks
city.
In the back.
It's a lovely, wonderful city.
Voodoo
city.
I love donuts it. Or whatever?
Yeah.
Pay $7.50 for a one-bedroom, if anybody cares. $7.50 for a one-bedroom.
Does it come with the dread... It's a dreadlock.
Everyone who wins that contest needs to live in an apartment together, and it needs to be like a real world. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
That'd be fun.
Smelliest apartment in all the land.
Hey. Here's my question. Are we all mad at each other?
You're classing up the joint.
I haven't seen you guys in a while. Fuck y'all. Thanks for being here.
All right. It is, I know what you guys are thinking. When's the quiz show time? Well, guess what?
Has it arrived?
It is now. The quiz show time
Good
is
guess.
Now. Are you guys ready? Are you guys excited?
Is the audience ready? Yeah.
Are you guys ready and excited?
They're done with the banter. They want to see.
They want to learn. Yeah. Get into it. You're like, get into it. Let's do this thing. So we divided you guys up into teams.
Yes.
Mike, Molly, Alex, Kate, and you guys. We asked them to come up with their team name. So why don't you? What is your team name?
Well, I was intimidated to meet you, Mike, because you're a TV writer, and I'd like to be a TV writer. So the first thing I did was pitch you. I think my best writing. For our team name,
right.
And I'm just curious to know what you think about it. So our team name is a lot of wordplay. It's Bowling for Quizzenbine.
I'm in.
Thank you.
I am in.
Thank you.
Oh,
that was my packet.
I have no hiring power, well, but if I ever do.
Well, keep me in mind.
You could work for Michael Moore, perhaps. it's his documentary. What?
He had a show that was supposed to be on TBS, and that fell apart very quickly.
Oh, right.
We can redact that as well, but for the audience, he does not pay people.
Oh, snap.
Redacted.
Oh, redacted.
I don't know if that's how editing podcasts work.
It does. I edit this podcast.
That's what Manafort's lawyers were doing. They're like, redacted, redacted. Here, give it to the judge. I just yelled redacted at him,
right,
my grandpa.
I run this podcast, and I run this podcast like it's as if I'm a lawyer in a movie in the 80s where I'm like, strike that from the record.
Duly noted.
Bowling for Quizzenbine, all right.
Bowling for Quizzenbine, Team A.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, I was going to say we like true crime documentaries,
yes.
But, you know, violence, murder, it's a little intense
We're
for us.
We're more petty criminals.
Yeah, so we've decided to call our team Making of a Loiterer.
Nice.
Yep.
Very casual.
Making a lawyer.
Very casual. That's like misdemeanor crime.
Yeah.
That's very casual.
Misdemeanor
I like that.
Crimes are the hottest crimes.
Oh, so hot. Bike theft. Oh. Have you seen American Vandals?
So good.
Isn't that an awesome show?
I think that's the best piece of modern satire.
Recently canceled show. Good job.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, God damn. It's so good. It's perfectly cast, that show. All right, so now we're going to get into our...
Sorry. This is not funny to anybody else, but I auditioned for 3 roles on that show last season and didn't get any of them. So you saying it's perfectly cast hurts a little bit. It does hurt a bit.
Oh, my God. What would they cast you for?
I went out for... On the first season, I went out for a high school teacher. And then last year, they were doing... Or the second season, I was doing a parody of that cult in Oregon. And so I tried for a couple of different cult members, which I was not qualified for.
Wild Wild Country, then?
Yeah, they did a parody of Wild Wild Country.
Oh, wow.
Season 2.
How could you parody that?
They did it.
Yeah, well, I guess they did.
Yeah, log into George's desk on Netflix and watch it.
If it becomes apparent, he said perfectly cast without watching it, just knowing you weren't in it.
Yeah, what a dick. How did you...
So harsh.
I have your bio.
Paco runs casting.
This is weird. I should not write roles I didn't get on my bio. That one was on me. That was definitely... I was set up for failure there.
You also didn't get Wolverine, I see.
That was a self-tape. They didn't even want that.
All right, true or false? This is what we're going to... We're going to go... This one's going to be for bowling for... Quizzenbine.
Yeah.
And do we get to consult with each other?
Yeah. And so this is the oh, look at that. Oh, that's awesome. Look at that. That's Orson Welles. I have a roommate who used to say Orwellian when he met Orson Welles. He'd be like, that movie's so Orwellian. Not a smart guy. I used to live with Alex. All right, here we go. This is for you guys. Question for this
you
is true or false.
You just wanted to diversify your shit talking.
No, I don't. Sorry. Here it is. Bye, bye, buddy. Jim and Andy: The Great Beyond features Jim Carrey doing full immersion method character acting to better capture the ethos of his comedy idol, Andy Warhol. True or false?
False.
False.
All right.
Yeah, it is false. Yeah, good job. All right.
We talked about that documentary like 5 minutes ago.
You name dropped.
Yeah, we did. I didn't know that was going
to
go there.
I don't want to. I know, Mike, that you're running the show, but I do want to add you did not talk to Kate about a documentary.
Yeah,
no, yeah,
at
you
all.
Didn't ask Kate about that.
Kate, have you seen a documentary lately?
Yeah, I just figured you guys. is either a small mistake or he didn't like women. I wasn't sure which one. No, I'm just kidding. I like Wild Wild Country. I know you probably have talked about it on your podcast before, but Sheila is my favorite.
Oh, Sheila's some shit, man. That lady, she's so good.
She is a sociopathic murderer and also a bad bitch.
Kind of rad,
she's really amazing.
She is. Tough titties.
Yeah.
That is Sheila's thing.
Well, the thing is like, it made me realize that there's so much doubt that like is part of our lives and our minds, like just because, you know, we're not sociopaths or whatever. So like I will become insecure, wonder what you think of me, wonder if I said something that was offensive or whatever. But just to not have any of those impulses whatsoever
and
can
replace
lead
that
to you killing
with
a lot of people.
Poison.
Yeah, it can lead to you killing a lot of people, but can also lead to a bunch of other stuff, like not feeling confined by society's prejudices, you know? So it was fun.
I think she's super relatable because who among us hasn't done something stupid for the sake of a man with a beard that we really like?
Yeah.
That's like my whole college experience.
Also, you know, I'm from San Francisco, so it's like, you know, it's like instead of like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, it's like 6 degrees of sex cult, you know? Like, I know a lot of people who have been involved with some kind of sex cult at some point, you know, a spiritual hand job now and there, you know, and it's just like, so it just kind of reminded me of home in a way.
Right, sure. Yeah. They ground up beavers.
That was gross.
Yeah.
Ground up beavers reminds me of home. All right. Awesome. Well, that's a great documentary. You can see it on Netflix. Okay, question number two. Question number two for...
Is this for us or them?
This is for them, making of a loiterer. In Vladimir Putin, the documentary, the leaders of Russia and Canada collude to bring down America with an obesity epidemic in the investigative documentary... Is that true?
I appreciate someone jumping in with the answer. I was waiting for him to realize that that's not a sentence. I was enjoying him adding words.
I guess translated from Russian.
It felt like you were answering his question.
In the investigative...
Yes.
In Vladimir Putin. You know. Anyway, right?
True or false?
You're fine.
Have you heard of this movie?
No, I have not.
It does sound like a good team name. Vladimir Putin. Yeah. Would have been solid.
I feel like the president would be into this documentary. Russia and Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Two nice countries, very attractive leaders. Let's go with, are we comfortable saying false?
Somebody yelled true earlier, and so now I've got your input and the input of a stranger, and I will take yours over his. So, we're gonna go with false.
Ding ding.
Fuck you. 1 point each team.
Trying to bring me down.
1 point each team. Okay,
good
great.
Job. Grammar. Okay.
Here we go. This is for bowling. For
quiz and bind.
Thank you. Here we go. So three identical strangers tells the story of triplets separated at birth in an unethical science experiment that find each other in their teens and make a cameo in a Madonna movie. True or false?
True.
True.
And they're all hot.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Survey says true.
That's
true. Another point for bowling for Quisenbine.
Wait, beardless. But she said they're hot.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They are beard. Have you guys, anybody here seen Three Identical Strangers? Yeah. That's crazy.
A round of one guy's applause. Yes.
Crazy fucking movie. You guys should check it out if you haven't. All right, good. It looks like it's 2-1. All right, moving on to Making of a Loiterer. Here we go. In Film Worker, Leon Vitali leaves a career in acting to become the assistant to his favorite director, Ken Russell. True or false?
Have you heard of this one?
I haven't heard of it, but sounds true.
It sounds true.
It's like boring enough that I feel like no one would go to the to make it up.
I don't feel like George wrote this. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Also, the sentence is complete, which might mean it was lifted straight from IMDb.
Yeah.
The one he made up did not work as well.
Yeah.
All right, we have investigated and we have come back with what did we say?
True.
True. We said true. We've come back with true.
There it is.
We doubted you.
Does anybody know who the director is?
Stanley Kubrick.
Exactly. Kubrick. Yeah.
Oh, so it was okay. So the sentence was just true, except for the last word. Okay, great.
Oh, our forensics.
We were close.
Yeah. Did not.
Did you guys know that?
No, I just keep focusing on the statue wearing year 2000 glasses.
It's very festive.
That's all I can like. Yeah. Him in front of it, like you know.
You know. Unplug your computer at midnight. Yeah. All right, here we go.
I miss the years where those glasses made sense when we had the two O's in the middle. It sucks. Yeah. 2010 on has really fucked up those glasses.
Yeah. The answer to this is true. I'm going to say it's true.
Fuck Billy Mitchell.
Let's read it out loud because
it's a podcast. Go ahead.
King of Kong centers around the trials and tribulations of two middle-aged white men competing for high score in the game Donkey Kong.
Justice for Weeby.
And true. Let's see if it's true. Oh, it is true.
Another point for
I am exactly what I look like.
I knew it too.
Do you know the rest of the title of this documentary?
I forget. I know there
I
is
know.
More.
Yep. Festival of Quarters.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Deep cut. Nicely done. All right, what
she
do we got?
She's exactly what you look like.
Thank you? I don't know where to take that.
Two identical strangers.
What do we got, George? What's the score?
Team Bowling for Quisenbine has 3 points.
Yeah, we know. We can count.
Making a loiter has 1 point.
All right, okay, here we go.
My only job is to keep score, so that's what I'm
doing. This one's for you guys. Roger and Me is the whimsical story of when a high school athlete learns the skills of basketball and friendship from film journalist Roger Ebert.
This is false.
This is false. Although see. I do like that.
Oh,
it's a good lie.
It is false.
Point
that
for false. Team Making a Loiter.
That's right.
That he learned basketball from Roger Ebert. You know, the classic basketball coach.
He was also in Hoop Dreams. We would have also taken Hoop Dreams. For
this
that.
This is a 3-point shot, but it's worth 5 stars.
You were laughing so hard at that joke, you could barely get through the last word of it.
All right, here we go. This is for you guys.
Nice job.
The documentary Jane centers around the sexuality of cartoon wives. True or false? Yeah, we all kind of do. Yeah.
Well,
I'd watch the shit out of that.
Right?
All right. Two horny gentlemen. All right. Want to fuck a cartoon lady.
That's the game, is you just read how horny
I think it might be a good all document.
Yeah, I think it's a good all document. So false.
False. Yeah.
You are correct.
I do like...
For the boners in the... Sorry, go ahead.
What is... I just want to know what's happening in this scene where it looks like a three-way's being negotiated. Oh, yeah.
And the robot Rosie. Is just like, no, fuck no.
No!
Yeah, Rosie.
Oh, yeah, Rosie doesn't want to get any... Is that...
Here's something fucked up I just learned today. The mom Jetson is like 30 years old. Yep. The dad Jetson is 40-year-old, and they have a 16-year-old daughter. The math is very iffy on that.
Well, it's the future.
The future.
Yeah, exactly.
You can grow kids fast.
Consent is irrelevant.
There you go, Mr. J.
Why did you learn that today? What were you doing today?
I was writing the documentary about the sexuality of cartoon wives. Right.
These two guys want to see
it. I was going to ask, on behalf of the boners in the crowd, is that a real movie with a different name? Or did you make
no,
that up?
Mine is called From the Rubble. story of one woman's journey.
Stop this thing, but yeah.
Just asking for a friend, but where can a guy find a cartoon documentary about wives? If anyone knows, I'm not for me, but someone else.
Oh, awesome. All right, here we go. Last question in the true or false category. Kumare follows lapsed Hindu Vikram Gandhi, who conducts an experiment where he poses as a guru. He attracts a number of devotees, but unexpectedly finds that his followers are receiving genuine benefits from his deception.
Bored.
Team loiterer.
Jeez.
I feel like you guys got harder questions.
Yeah, weird, right?
I've definitely heard of something kind of like this, but I think it might be about the Bikram yoga guy, which is not him. But, oh, man.
It's just so long. It's just like, what a boring, long description. Same logic as before that didn't work. I feel like it's probably true.
I'm voting for Elizabeth Warren. I don't know. I just wanted to say something else.
okay,
I have no idea. I have no idea.
None.
We would take true or false.
As a team.
All right.
I'm saying true.
Okay, then you can say that.
True.
True.
Yes.
Points for the confidence.
I was leaning towards false, and I'm glad that I deferred to a man.
You deferred to Elizabeth Warren.
All right, so end of round, this round, we've... Is this the end of the round?
Yes. Yep.
We've got...
You have one job.
Bowling for Quisenbein has 4. Making of a Loiterer has 3 points.
Okay,
very close, very close.
That's Can't wait good. To see what's on Stars.
Stars has a good Spider-Man. Package.
Yeah,
I mean, they don't work for the Stars Corporation, but they have recent Disney films. I don't know why I'm defending them.
All right, so this next game is called Cast This Doc, and this is something that we play on our podcast where we ask people to cast the doc as if you were casting a fucking doc. But with like as if it would be
like
a biopic
version. Yeah, yeah, like who you
And it can be anybody.
Okay.
It can be anybody living or dead. Hopefully it's people that
Yeah,
knows.
So each team's going to come up with one, and we're going to do a little vote with the audience.
Do we get points if we say which one Alex auditioned for but didn't get it?
Yes. That'd be too easy, I think.
So what you're saying is that you think that Dick
Cheney... He does look like Edward Snowden a little bit.
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
For the people listening at home, I do have glasses.
And you're white. That's
pretty much it. I would also work for Sarah Palin.
All right. All right, here we go.
The game.
So this is called Cast This Doc. So the first one would be this one.
Project Grizzly, if you've seen it. It's about a Canadian man who built a suit to withstand being attacked by a bear. So that is Project Grizzly. The character with the mullet here is named Toby Hurtubise. I guess I should have picked a closer up photo, but in general, so each team think about, let's go Team Quisenbein. Who would you cast if you're gonna make a biopic of Project Grizzly? Just look based on this photo alone that everyone can see, except for the people listening to this podcast.
Yeah, have the discussion quietly so no one can hear. Good idea.
We'll be right back.
Who's Canadian?
Who's Canadian?
Anybody?
That was what the conversation was who are Canadians we know? And
or guys with mullets.
Trudeau.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also kind of wanted to be, I know that he's dead, but the guy from Grizzly Man who died, just because I feel like he would have benefited from this.
Could have used a grizzly suit.
Timothy Treadwell.
And who for the robot?
Werner Herzog.
Yes.
So do we have an answer?
Yeah, sure. Say what you were going to say.
Let's say Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
Okay, Justin Trudeau. Okay, now team making of a loiterer. You've had more time than them to look at this picture.
Oh, we didn't talk about it. I was just shitting on them.
To me, this guy genuinely looks like Mel Gibson, but Mel Gibson is a racist, uh-huh. So I don't want to give him
more. So how about Bruce Campbell?
He does look a little Bruce Campbell.
He looks a little Bruce Campbell-y, and as far as I know, without Googling it, not racist, but you never can tell.
Let's go with him. Yeah, Bruce Campbell.
All right, so this is where we turn to the audience, and we're going to ask you, do you believe this man should be played by Justin Trudeau?
Yeah. I think that.
Yeah, you're clapping because you gave him the idea.
You can get our Star subscription.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell.
All right. Do you think this guy looks like he could be played by Bruce Campbell?
Bruce Campbell.
All right. I'm going to give that to Team Making of a Loiterer. Much more enthusiastic clapping. And we also would have accepted a couple of other answers. Bucky Sinister, San Francisco comedian, or Lord Zedd from the Power Rangers for the suit.
You would have accepted those answers instead of them voting?
We didn't think this
like there's answers that supersede the audience.
No, they're just backup answers that I couldn't make a PowerPoint for whatever you were gonna say at the moment.
And so you just assumed we might guess local comedian
or the third villain from the original Power Rangers. Not even Rita Repulsa, like her second stooge.
You are what you look like. All right, guys. We also accepted David Koechner. He is also good for almost any documentary. Yeah, applause for David Koechner. Great. Okay, so that's a point for Making of a Loiterer. We're going to do a couple more of these. Same format. All right, here we go.
Good, that one went well. We should do more.
Good for radio.
All right, Morgan Spurlock. Problematic fave. Is what he looks like. How would you cast a fictional version of Morgan Spurlock? Team Bowling for Quisenbein. Or let's switch it up. Okay, I'll go with you guys first. Team Making of a Loiterer. You gotta cast someone to play this dude.
It's got that. You gotta have the terrible facial hair.
He reminds me of Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah, I feel a Foxworthiness to it.
Yeah.
I also could imagine like a Doug Benson as like a you're doing the thing that you made fun of that like a layers on layers.
But what I would like about it is that if Jeff Foxworthy did this role and it was really good, you know, and it had a lot of emotional dimension, people would like have this whole conversation where they're like, "Wow, we never really realized he had so much inside him," you know, and that would be fun.
I remember I cried the first time I saw You Might Eat a Redneck.
Although imagine being Morgan Spurlock and they cast someone 20 years older than you to play you 15 years ago.
That'd be fun too.
Okay, you're gonna go with Foxworthy. Is that what you're saying?
Foxworthy, for sure.
All right. Okay, Team Bowling for Quisenbein. Who do you think to play Morgan Spurlock?
I gotta say, based on method acting alone, we'd like to cast David Hasselhoff because we know he can be problematic while eating hamburgers. So
the Knight Rider.
Smart.
Yeah.
That's actually great. Okay, so audience, I put it to you. Do you think Morgan Spurlock should be played by Jeff Foxworthy? Or David Hasselhoff. Oh, man. We got to give it to the Hoff.
Or the putties.
All right. I'm going to give that to Quisenbein. That is.
Yay.
All right.
Yeah, but what answers did you come up with?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Mario?
James Hetfield from Metallica.
Oh, okay.
Or David Koechner. David Koechner would have also worked. A local fan.
Local musician, James Hetfield.
Exactly.
That's a good point, yeah. He is local.
All right, we're on to the next one. Marie Kondo. I'm tidying up with Marie Kondo.
Who's just watched this today?
Who's going to spark the joy today?
Your day so far, it was only 5 o'clock when we got here, but your day involved watching a documentary about tidying up and Googling facts about cartoon wives.
Right.
This is a busy Saturday,
but it sparks my joy, so...
There you go.
That's the whole point.
Look, some of us spend our days watching Japanese women and Googling cartoon wives.
It's not
a good deal. Identical strangers.
All right, I'm going to go Quisenbein. You get first crack at this. Talk us through your thinking for Marie Kondo.
We're going to go with David Koechner.
You figured out the game.
He figured it out. There was a loophole and you found it.
Oh, she's so cute. I love her.
She is cute.
Okay, I'll take that answer. Making of a Loiterer.
We're going to go with whatever does not make us sound racist.
Yeah. I do know from reading Twitter that we should not cast Scarlett Johansson. Where should we go?
Smart.
Well.
So your answer is Emma Stone.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be fun to give her an edge. You know, it'd be fun to see like Marie Kondo with like a inner edginess, and it could be it's in my mind because I saw her yesterday. But Margaret Cho would.
The edge of Margaret Cho.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. That would be good. All right, so guys, let's take an audience poll again. Who should play Marie Kondo? Margaret Cho? Or David Koechner.
Head split. Back split.
Point That's making it. A loiterer. It is Margaret Cho for the win.
Yeah,
we nice also job. Suggested Scarlett Johansson because it would be Hollywood casting it. And David Koechner.
Yeah. All right.
He looks like he needs to tidy up right there.
I will say that the highlight from the episode I watched today is when the husband and wife are getting rid of the books, and the husband holds up a book to the wife and he goes, "Do you want to keep this, or do you want to use the internet?" I was destroyed.
What are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking
going
about?
On?
What are you...
Who's going to win, these guys?
All right, next.
John McAfee from Gringo, The Dangerous Life of John McAfee, the guy who helped prevent your computer viruses.
He's the guy that fucks whales, right?
Yeah.
I'm not doing a bit. Like, he's on, yes, he says he wants to fuck whales.
Wait, tell me more about this.
Yeah, please.
Apparently, he's crazy, first of all.
That part I knew.
I don't know if you could tell.
Yeah.
And, crazy in love.
Apparently.
He's crazy, but he's so much smaller than a whale.
That's his reasoning on why it's okay. And I'm not doing a bit. His reasoning on why it's okay is whales are bigger than people.
Yeah.
I know you're mad at me for saying this. I'm mad at me for knowing this.
The one whale in the back is like, it's true.
a bunch of whales in the crowd tonight, huh? Okay.
All right.
All right, so Macy and Loiter, you're up first on this. Who would you cast to play John McAfee?
My gut says if it's somebody who's like out of control and might fuck a whale, Nicolas Cage. If anyone's going to
really
fuck a whale, it's going to be Nick Cage.
That's a really good answer.
Nick Cage would disappear.
Yeah,
too,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quiz and bind.
That's tough. That's tough to beat. We're gonna go with Marie Kondo?
Yeah, for sure. All right. She secures your house.
Yeah,
McAfee Japanese secures
love
the
whales.
Internet.
Great.
If like she showed up with a gun and was like, clean up!
Yeah.
I'd do it.
All right.
You fold your socks wrong, you ruined the elastic!
The whale in the back is like, use thirds. You can see everything at the
comedy
same time.
Comedy rule of thirds. All right. Coming up, you guys, audience, what do you think? Should John McAfee be played by Nicolas Cage?
Yes! Yes, that's the answer.
Or Marie Kondo?
Split. It's split.
I'm giving it to Team Making of a Loiterer. Team Making of a Loiterer gets another point. You're really catching up in this round.
Yeah,
we really catch up in this totally subjective round. All right. We also had some suggestions. Al Pacino really does look like
that. Yeah.
Not a bad answer.
Yeah.
And Charlie Jason. Oh, okay.
Possibly.
Good. I was going to say, if you did David Kegner again, not funny.
Right. Yeah, comedy rules of four.
Yeah, good call. Who is going to play a penguin?
A penguin in March of the Penguins.
Oh.
Who would you cast to play a penguin? I'm going to go Team Quisenbein first. Well, everyone has an answer, I guess.
I have two answers already. I can't wait to hear yours, but I have two thoughts.
Team Quisenbein, what do you think?
Tim Curry from Home Alone 2 when he works at the hotel.
Okay,
very solid. Okay, yeah, exactly.
So you know he's very proper.
Yeah, he's got the...
He always has that egg on his foot.
Team Making of a Loiterer. Would you cast
to play? So I have two thoughts. My first thought is Danny DeVito.
Okay. Oh, pretty good. Man.
And my second thought is Dick Van Dyke.
Mm. Wow.
He does, in Mary Poppins, he dances with a penguin, and he puts he sags his pants a little and dances like a penguin, and it's dope.
Good.
And in the new one, not as good.
I liked both those choices. I was also thinking there's something about the way that penguin is walking. It has like a gravitas to it. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about Paul Giamatti.
Oh,
that's a good answer.
Yeah. I like that too.
That's a good answer.
Oh, that's really
I like
good
that solid.
Okay, you threw three.
Also, by the way, Olsen twins behind him.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So what are you gonna choose one? Who are you gonna out of that three trifecta, who do you think?
Oh, you make the call. Who do you think is the best?
Man, I feel like you've been deferring a lot.
I know, I'm really...
I liked your answer. I liked...
I'm voting for Kamala Harris, but I think that... I feel like the audience responded most to Danny DeVito, and since they are the judges eventually, we should go with Danny DeVito.
Okay, yeah.
All right, guys. Audience, what do you think? Should a penguin be played by Danny DeVito or... Danny DeVito... Or Tim Curry from Home Alone 2. I gotta do that one again. That was really...
it was too clear for you? Why?
Yeah. There was just low, low turnout, you know?
Yeah. Still counts. It was a midterm. It's fine.
Yeah.
Let's try it one more time. I'm gonna reverse the order just to see if this does anything. Guys, who should play a penguin? Danny DeVito.
It's the same order.
It's the same order as before.
No, but what if we did it the other order? What if we said Danny DeVito first?
Okay. I have an idea, you guys. Just
spitballing. Or Tim Curry. Louder people, but less of them. I'm going to give it to Danny DeVito, actually.
Yay!
So both times you've deferred to me, you've looked at me like you hated the idea.
Well, I mean, the thing is if I feel strongly about something, then I will. Okay. I will say.
For sure.
But sometimes I just don't really care. Right. And that's the time where I just let the person who cares more make the choice.
All right. Yeah. Good choice.
We also had a couple of options. Joaquin Phoenix, one of the greatest actors of our generation.
Sure. Oh,
he's very cute. Yeah.
Or David Koechner.
Oh, it came back. Yeah. I get it. Is it funny again?
Is it? Nope. Yeah, Looks like it isn't. All right. Great.
No Keckheads in the audience?
Okay, what are we?
Bernie
what's the
Sanders.
Score?
Okay, at this point, oh, the total score.
Wait, Bernie Sanders as Vice President Dick Cheney? Yeah. That would be a fucked up movie. Jeez, that would be a lot.
That would be beautiful. Yeah. All right.
It would be really fun. I would see it. It would be a summer blockbuster.
What if they were hit by lightning and switched bodies?
Making him a lawyer. Oh. All right, making him a lawyer. You got 7 points. You gained 4 in that round, and Team Bowling for Quiz and Bind, you are at 5 points.
Oh shit! That was our round.
Making a Loiterer is up in the lead.
That was our round.
That is the end of this segment. And we've got another segment.
Guess this title.
Good segue.
Yeah. All right, this one is we're gonna start with Making a Loiterer. Here we go. Guess the title. The true story of a man whose mummified leg was stored inside a barbecue grill and bought from a storage unit auction. It's called A, Foot Locker, B, Finders Keepers, C, Tibia Pursuit, or D, Grill Interrupted.
Is this a real documentary
that has a real title, or is this a fun,
These are real documentaries.
We did research for this, yes.
Finders Keepers, I'm guessing, is what it's called.
My favorite joke is Tibia Pursuit, though, so points for writing that, but I'll go with you on the answer.
You are correct. It is Finders Keepers.
There we go.
Yes.
Very good. Also, good job, you guys. Tibia Pursuit.
All right. That's so here really we go. Good. For you guys, guess the title. Documentation of Massachusetts Hospital for the Criminally Insane in 1966, where the inmates are regularly stripped naked, but there is a talent show. Is it?
Well, that's a plus side.
The Dong Show.
Oh,
Gathering of Juggalos.
Oh, my God.
Titicut Follies or Driftwood?
I thought this was like about like Brainwash Cafe. Where we all started Tony.
So I'm fast. I was thinking the same thing. So
yeah.
Titicut Follies or Drifterwood.
Drifterwood sounds very documentary namey.
Okay, and in the sign in the picture, the name is called Drifterwood.
God damn it, you guys.
So based on what we know about who made the quiz.
Let's go with Drifterwood.
Jesus,
I think we're
going to
say Drifterwood.
Drifterwood?
You are wrong. It is Titicut Follies, a classic documentary from 1966.
That's so messed up.
You guys got hella played.
Yeah, this whole thing's been subliminal messages.
Oh, that was brilliant.
All right, here, this one's for you guys. Guess the title. An invasive species unexpectedly takes over Australia. Is it White People, The Simpsons, Cane Toads, An Unnatural History, or The Joe Bogan Experience?
Wait a minute, we got our question, then you can...
It's got to be Cane Toads.
It's got to be Cane Toads, for sure.
Yeah.
That is
correct. You are right.
An Unnatural History.
She loves it.
She's fine with it.
Oh, I love that.
She loves that, too.
An invasive species unexpectedly takes over our hearts.
Yeah, just wait.
Cane Toads.
Wait till she's a teenager. It's not going to go well.
Yeah. Some people want to fuck whales. Okay, all right, here we go. Here we go. Guess the title. 2006 film that outlines the law of attraction.
Is it Quisenbine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Quisenbine.
Yes. Unless you want to reverse the order and we can still go.
Here we go. Is it Vision Board, The Secret, If I Told You I'd Have to Kill You, or Getting into Sketchfest?
The Secret.
You are correct. It is The Secret.
And there's a different thing on the board. There's a different one on the board.
One of my favorite jokes from you is an oldie where you say your vision board has the Comedy Central logo, and then is it Boys on Skateboards?
Five Dicks.
Oh, it's Five Dicks.
You cleaned it up. You censored me. We can't say anything in comedy anymore. Please donate to our Patreon.
I like it remembered as Boys on Skateboards.
That was also on brand for you.
Yeah, I used to find a lot of skaters back in the day.
I'm mixing two of your favorite.
All right, here we go. Next question.
How is The Secret a documentary? Okay.
Kinda.
Not a real
thing. It's in the documentary section of...
Okay.
Anyways, here we go.
Fair enough.
The Whistleblower exposes widespread spread government surveillance through
password.
All your...
Password. It's called password.
All of your phones
just
and
kidding.
Computers.
No, I know this one.
Is it the Can You Hear Me Now guy? Tales from the Crypto, Citizen 4, or Citizen 420?
It is Citizen 4.
Yeah.
Point for
you
making
are right.
It is nicely Citizen done. 4.
Oh, this is right in my wheelhouse. I love getting high and thinking about Snowden. This is great.
Well, doppelganger Edward Snowden. Look at us. We have the same nothing.
Here we go. This one.
Glasses.
Here's the last one for Guess This Title, and this one's going to be very hard for you guys. A small town in Oregon gets poisoned with ground-up beaver carcasses in what docuseries? Leave It to Beaver, The Poison Adventure, Sheila and Her Sisters, or Wild, Wild Country.
This is a thinker.
What if we just ran out the rest of the podcast conferring with each other? Wild, Wild Country.
Yeah.
All right, point for Team Quizzenbine. It is
Will Smith version.
We talked about it a lot already. We've talked about it so much on the show. All right, that is the end of that segment. Guess
where
title.
Where are we at, Scar? We got one more game to play.
All right.
One more game to play.
You guys got one more game in you?
Yeah, you got one more game?
Team Bowling for Quizzenbine is at 7 points in the lead, making of a loiterer at 10 points.
Wow. Okay. Damn, we're doing a lot better than we thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we got one more game we're going to start with. He's like, no.
I got too much to do.
We're going to go.
You guys are like two grandparents. I don't know. Let's just fucking... We don't have to.
We're Statler and Waldorfing up here, yeah. So.
We'll go with Making of a Loiter. This is a fill-in-the-blank, kind of like the match game, if you remember that game.
Oh.
Here we go. Number one. In Some Kind of Monster, the hard rock group Metallica gets a new band member and a blank to help them out.
Who's this going
to? Making of a Loiterer.
Oh, okay. Loiterer, okay.
A BitTorrent client.
A lawyer, a manager.
A new guitar?
A paleo diet.
Oh, are we trying to say... So, are we trying to say the right answer, or are
yes,
we trying to
right
be funny? Because you said the match game.
Yeah, but it's fun. Well, don't try to be funny. Just the right answer.
Through.
Do you know the answer?
No, I was trying to be funny.
Oh, you can be funny, too.
Sorry to fuck up your podcast with some content.
Jesus.
Did you say you knew the answer?
I don't know.
That guy said doctor, but I don't know if I trust the guy who wanted to fuck a Jetson.
I mean, it seems like it. It seems like they'd already have a manager and an agent and a tour bus and all that shit.
You're going doctor?
Sure.
Yeah.
How are we...
Yeah, a psychiatric doctor, a doctor of therapy. There's too many people
let's
helping
roll
us.
Up,
it's not fair.
Let's roll up. Therapist.
It's a therapist. That's
what kind of a doctor?
I'll give it
That'll
to us.
Work. Yeah, give it to yourself.
Yeah.
Good
Don't
job,
fucking matter.
We're going to give it to us.
I gave up on like life you know, in the middle of this show.
I mean, we've cheated. We have.
Have we cheated? We have been aware of our crowd. We're listening to the audience's desires.
All right.
That's not cheating. That's pandering.
That's
thank you.
All right, this Please. Is for Quizzenbine. Team Quizzenbine. A very elderly man wants to retire, but doesn't think his son is smart enough to take over the business in Jiro Dreams of Blank.
Don't yell things out, you guys, for fuck's sake. It's a quiz show.
We also know the answer.
Yeah.
It's sushi. We know it's sushi.
Oh. Let's
point.
See. Let's see. Oh, it
for
is.
Quizzenbine. A point for you guys. All right.
All right, this one's more about Werner Herzog, the documentary filmmaker, where he famously said, look into the eyes of a blank and you will see real stupidity.
I assume it's a bear.
A man? It sounds like it could be a man.
That would be, sounds like a reasonable answer. Also on brand for you.
Yeah. Let's try it. A man.
Chicken.
It's close.
Chicken or man.
To give him his full credit, that's probably true.
Yes. All right.
He's a man and a chicken.
Same
Your
thing.
Friend Chicken
Where
John.
Were you on that one?
It's Chicken John. All right, great.
In The Jinx, Robert Durst is accused of cutting a man's blank off. Blank.
Mike and Molly.
It's,
have you not
like,
seen The Jinx? You should
I have,
see The Jinx.
I have. That's
I should,
why I'm burping.
It's a great documentary.
I think it's like all of his limbs off and his head. I'm going to say...
Be more specific.
I'm going to say head.
It is Two more questions.
The main problem with true crime is that at the end you don't find out the answer, and in the Jinx they were like, what if we just have the answer at the end? It's pretty good.
It's so delicious.
What if he just burps and just admits
it? I know.
Just burps out the truth.
The theme song is so good because it's how you feel when you're at the end of the Jinx. It's just like, woo!
Oh, yeah. Have you guys seen The Jinx?
Very good.
Yeah, watch The Jinx. It's the best.
All right, here we go. According to the documentary Crumb, Robert Crumb's mother gave all her children blank.
Scabies. No, that's not my real answer. Do you know?
No. No, I knew the other ones. But we're ahead, so let's just keep it moving. Let's not waste too much time getting this wrong.
Let's say comic books.
Okay, sure.
That may make
it
sense.
Is it's enemas.
Enemas. Funnier answer than ours.
You know what? But if I didn't know for sure and I guessed that, I would be so unpopular with you.
This is not a joke observation that's going to play well on the podcast, but the kerning on these slides is insane.
It's so crazy.
It is so bad.
Like, this is not for all of you, but like two of you are upset about this also, and this is for you. But fucking justify left. If you do not.
I don't know what you're
graphic
doing.
Designers of
Why
San
are there so many
we'll
spaces?
Get our interns
I thought
on
we
that.
Were supposed to guess something between those two words.
Yeah, you can see the blank
it's
line.
It's a fill in the blank. There's so many blanks.
We're giving you a blank line
a
to
choice.
Work with, folks.
It's a choice. Sorry.
That's fine. You'll never do this podcast again. All right, here we go. Last question. In Fahrenheit
11... Oh, come on! Look at that!
What? Is that a pictogram?
I see...
In Fahrenheit 11.9...
I see a wolf!
Michael Moore, next line, sprays large space, the one line on its own, Michigan, one line on its own, governor's
It definitely... That's
mansion.
That is a Mad Lib that we have to fill out. Michael fucking Moore.
This should be like, this is like what like a ransom note looks like.
Redacted.
I gave you all the signs, but you couldn't find her.
Michael redacted Moore. Sprays redacted the, redacted Michigan.
This is how you format poems when you're tired of rhyming. You know, when you're like, I want to write poems,
Modern
but rhyming's hard, so I'll space it.
God. Holy shit, that's
perfect.
Funny. Anybody else want to come up here?
I love that the funniest thing was a fucking mistake.
It was intentional. It wasn't a mistake.
That is.
What did they spray?
Sprays the Michigan governor's mansion
with a truck full.
I'm gonna say Flint water.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably true.
Correct. Yeah.
Drinking water from Flint, Michigan. Yeah. They still don't have drinking water, guys.
I'm
they
sure
still not, do not have drinking.
Yeah, definitely don't watch that movie. But good answer.
That's the one time the answer has been Flint water, and people go, Yay!
Yeah. Well, that is it. Let's do you guys have fun? Put your hands together for our guest.
Yeah. Kate Willett, everybody. Alex Falcone. Molly Sanchez. Mike Trucker, Paco Romaine,
thank you guys.
Our producer up. Will Scoble over here by the piano, responsible for the kerning on all of these tracks.
This is George Jones.
I'm George.
Let's get to the winner, shall we?
Oh, fuck. I forgot that was part of this. Let's see. Doing quick math, it does take me a second to do math. All right, guys, in 1 point difference, for 11. Okay, for 10 points, Bowling for Quisenbein has 10 points. And I'm quitting.
This is how they should like feel like Miss America.
What if we reverse
like, in second to last, but first, but not. Miss
Alex Willett and Kate Falcone,
Jesus
Megan Lutter, 11 points. They are the winners. Megan Lutter is the winner. You're already on Netflix.
I am a winner in this game, and I'm also Kate Willett.
Got our names wrong.
I'm sure your password, Molly, you're going to enjoy seeing, I guess, Sweet Bitter.
Oh, or Kidding, which is fabulous.
That's on Showtime.
I'm sure you're
part of this. Showtime
damn it.
Part of this,
so. I'm sure for both networks, your password is Citizen 420.
Yes, it is. It is also Kearney. Well, thank you guys so much. Please listen to our podcast, Sup Doc Podcast. Go to our website, iTunes.
Thank you, Piano Fight, yeah, for having us here. Thank you, Sketchfest. For looking at our vision boards and letting us in here.
Pac Romaine, this is George Chen. Have a great Sketchfest and be safe. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.